Thank you so much. Well, again, happy Mother's Day. It is good to see you in the Lord's house today. Isn't our God awesome?
Amen.
Amen. And He loves us enough to do all that He done and then provides for us a day like today that we can come together. Remember, not only our mothers, I'm thankful for my mother, but specifically worship Him. Amen. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the great I Am, loved us so much that He was willing to engage the cross so that you and I might be saved. And for that, we can say, yes! Isn't it awesome? Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? We want to welcome all of our guests who are with us, and we have many. It's always a blessing to have so many guests with us, and hopefully you receive the bulletin when you come in. You'll see the perforated form at the top of the word welcome. Encourage you to fill that information card out, drop it in the offering plate at the end of the service that we might have a record of your visit. And just to the opposite side of that, you'll see at the top decision information. Encourage you to look over those, check any and all that may apply to you. And there's also space provided down at the bottom of that card that if you have a special prayer concern, I encourage you to write that down. I'll receive these tomorrow morning and be able to pray for you for whatever your need may be throughout this next week. But again, great to see you. And let's pray. We've got a busy schedule, so we're going to keep it rolling. All right, let's pray. Father God, we come to You. We thank You. We praise You. Thank You that we saw fit to have in our nation Mother's Day, and that we could remember our moms and be thankful for our mothers and how so many of them have been instrumental in bringing their children to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or as the song displayed, how she was fundamental in bringing her husband to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, thank You so much for our moms. Again, God, we thank You for Jesus. We pray, Lord, that everything that we say and do will bring honor and glory to Him. And we ask it in His name and for His sake. Amen. This time we're going to have a time of meet and greet, so we encourage you to find somebody you know, somebody you don't know, and let them know how good it is to see them in the house of the Lord. Amen. Will you get that flower?
world.
If I can get her attention, let's go ahead and be seated. As you probably noticed, Satan always tries to make certain we have problems of some sort, but I'm so thankful that our God is greater, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. So, but anyway, we're going to do a couple of things. First of all, we're going to watch a video that's made within our church here. And then immediately following that, we're going to recognize some of our mothers.
Kids say the darndest thing.
No telling what, no telling when, never a dull moment. You think you know, they surprise you again, saying what they wanna. They're gone tomorrow, right here today. Let's hear what they have to say.
What's your favorite thing that Mommy does? Do you have a favorite thing that Mommy does? No? Maisie, can you tell Mommy Happy Mother's Day? Say Happy Mother's Day. Say Happy Mother's Day. Gabe, what's your favorite thing that Mommy does?
Gabe, the interview's not over with. Gabe,
where do you think you're going?
Okay, Happy Mother's Day.
What's your name? What's your name?
No, I know.
You don't know? What is your favorite thing about Mommy?
No, I know. No, I know.
Jylin, what is the favorite thing that your mommy does for you?
She comes down and feeds us. My favorite thing to do with my mommy is play baseball with her. Happy Mother's Day. I love you.
Okay. Say, I love you, Mommy. Happy Mother's Day.
I love you, Mommy. Happy Mother's Day.
What's your favorite thing about your mommy?
That she, they usually, moms, they don't, when it's like a weekend, that usually moms, for instance, my sister, she doesn't let her kids stay up on weekends, and my mom lets me stay up on weekends.
Okay. When's your mommy the scariest?
When she's mad.
What things makes your mom mad?
Me.
Me. What's the funniest thing about your mom?
When she's trying to dance and do the latest dance moves, she can't do it.
If you could tell your mommy anything, what would you tell her?
That I want $1,000.
Hello, Miss Aubrey.
Hello.
We're going to talk about your mommy today.
Okay.
Okay. What is it that you love about your mommy?
I love her when she scratches in my back and feels.
Yeah? What's your funniest memory about your mommy?
This one time we were laying on the couch and she was playing around with me.
Mm-hmm. What's the favorite thing your mom does?
Cook pizza.
Okay. When does Mommy get mad?
Whenever we fight.
Okay. You want to tell your mommy Happy Mother's Day?
Happy Mother's Day. I love you.
What's your favorite thing about your mommy?
She takes me a lot of places, to all my sports.
How does your mommy show that she loves you?
She hugs me and kisses me.
When's your mommy at her scariest?
Whenever she's mad.
What's the most funniest memory of your mom? Is there a funny time that you remember?
No. I don't know.
So your mommy's not funny?
I mean, not really.
You want to tell your mom Happy Mother's Day and that you love her?
Happy Mother's Day, I love you.
Okay. What is your favorite thing that your mom does?
Sleep.
Okay. What's the funniest memory you have of your mom?
Let's see. When her hair is crazy.
When her hair is crazy? Yeah. You want to tell your mom Happy Mother's Day and that you love her?
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day. I love you.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, telling those lies, pointing out your flaws. That isn't who you are. That isn't who you are. It might be hard to hear, but let me tell you, dear. If you could see what I could see, I know you would believe that isn't who you are. There's more to who you are.
Hell, amen. I got a strong sense that there was a lot of panicked mothers not knowing what their child was going to say. And they had figured out their punishment of when they said something that they didn't want them to say. Anyway, what we're going to do real quick, we're going to recognize our oldest and our youngest mother. So let's start with the oldest. I think they deserve perhaps the highest level of respect. Amen. And so I know Miss Ruth is 90. She'll be 91 in August, I believe it is. Do we have a mother here who is older than 90? Yes, we do, actually. Yes, Miss Margie Widener. That's correct. And she's 92. Is that correct? Or Wilcutt. Well, I'm sorry. We have another Margie, so. Happy Mother's Day. Oh, you're mighty welcome. I raised those flowers all on my own, but don't you believe that. All right. On the youngest mother, do we have a mother here who is under 18? Yes. We have a couple of mothers that are untruthful, but how about 19? 20? 21? 22? 23, Miss Joy. All right. Happy Mother's Day. God bless you. All right. One of the things that we like to do at First Baptist is we like to recognize all of our mothers, but also all of our ladies. There's some here who wanted to have kids, and for whatever reason, God didn't bless them in that way. But we want you to know that you're special, that you're important, and you have just as much to the kingdom. And we have spiritual mothers, as Rhonda likes to refer to them, that they may not have had children on their own, but God uses them greatly here at our church and in His kingdom. So we want to recognize all of our mothers, or all of our women who are 18 and older, and we have a special gift for you. And I think the best way to do it, if I can get a couple of our guys up here, Ethan, you mind helping me? And Brennan, will you help me? Huh? I said Brennan. Yeah, I know, but you're just painful. Yeah. If you are older or 18 and older, ladies, will you lift your hand up and y'all help me out and just start grabbing these and delivering them to our women folks? 18 and older.
it does.
Yeah.
That came out of the
Let's give our mothers, yes, our ladies, thank you so much.
Everyone would please rise with us.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shattered his spell, and with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. Into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a sinning is mine! And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took to the offer of grace he did proffer, oh, praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Blessed.
So much. I always like to kid her. I'm always like it when she's here, because when she is, we always have joy in our church. Amen. Children's church, you're dismissed at this time, and so we encourage you to take opportunity of that. And so, children, if you'll make your way back at this time, and I ask the rest of us to open our Bibles once again to the book of Proverbs as we continue this series of messages that we've titled Nuggets of Gold. And today we're going to be looking at Proverbs 31. Many of us will be familiar with that passage. I would hope that our lady folks are extremely familiar with this passage, as it talks about the virtuous woman, or as the King James would describe her. The ESV, which I'll be reading from today, refers to her as an excellent woman or an excellent wife. And we're going to read verses 10 down through the end of the chapter. Due to its length, let's just remain seated. But listen to what the Word of God says. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10. An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. And may God bless the reading of His Word. Let us go to Him in prayer. Father, again, we do thank You for the privilege of we've witnessed baptism, we've witnessed worship and praise, and we've thanked You for our mothers and our ladies, God, whom You have brought here and You use so greatly in our midst. God, we thank You for the reading of Your Word and now for the preaching of Your Word. Lord, anoint me, give me the boldness and clarity and all that's needed to preach. And God, I pray that as Your Word goes out, just as You say, it will not return unto You void, and that You'll capture our attention. That we will hear Your Word, apply Your Word, and never, ever, ever be the same. God, thank You so much. And we thank You most of all for Jesus, Lord. May He be praised as we look at Your excellent example of who our ladies should strive to be, this virtuous woman. And God, again, we thank You for Christ, and we ask it in His name and for His sake. Amen. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find an excellent wife, an excellent woman? Now, I believe probably to start off our message that we probably ought to seek to define or to determine what this word virtuous or this word excellent means. And it's describing a woman that has moral character or moral virtue. It's talking about a person who is pure in their heart and in their thoughts and in their relationship and in their fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we look at this particular passage, God, by His grace and mercy, has given us His standard of a godly woman. And of course, all of us, we should seek, those of us who are men, we ought to look for God's standard in a woman. But likewise, being a woman of the Lord, we ought to seek to be. A woman ought to seek to live out God's purpose and live according to the standard that He has given in His Word. Now, obviously, there are no perfect mothers, but this passage offers a goal, again, that every single one of us should seek to be virtuous, to be excellent, as the ESV says. Now, I've never heard of a perfect wife, but I did read once of a perfect husband. I know you'll find that hard to believe. A question was asked at a conference if any of the ladies had ever heard of a perfect husband when the husband of one of the ladies stood up and said, "Yes, my wife's first husband." Now, interestingly, though, we look at this particular passage and it's written as an acrostic. We can't see it in the English, but if you were to read the Hebrew, every verse begins with a Hebrew letter, beginning obviously with the first Hebrew letter working its way through the Hebrew alphabet. If we were to do this in English, the first verse would begin, verse 10 would begin with the letter A, and the last verse would begin with all the way down B, C, D, all the way to Z. I believe what the Holy Spirit is telling us by pointing the writer to directing the writer to write this acrostic is that the woman that we find in this passage is the complete package. This is what we should long to strive for if you're a lady. And again, those of us who are men, and especially our young men who will be looking for a wife, they should look to God's standard. They should want to find a woman that is living up to, and or at least trying to live up to, God's standard. Our young ladies especially, I think we should strive for excellence. I don't understand why anybody would strive to be second or third or somewhere down the line. Why wouldn't we? If we've been saved by God's grace, empowered by His Spirit, radically changed for His glory, why shouldn't we want to live up to the standard that God has given us in His Word? So our text, it draws a portrait, if you will, of a godly woman. It extols the honor and dignity of women and emphasizes the importance of a mother in the home. I believe the secret to her virtuousness is found in verse 30. She fears the Lord. I wonder how many of us would be different, man or woman, if we simply were a person who feared God. I think that is an important trait, that we should fear, that we should have a reverence for the Lord. If we have a reverence for the Lord, then we won't just arbitrarily sin. We'll not just simply choose to do wrong when we know that it's wrong, but we'll seek to live according to the Word of God, that we'll seek to glorify God in our lives, that we will present our lives a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our spiritual act of worship. And to a woman who fears the Lord, her husband will trust in her. Her children are provided for and therefore blessed by her. And even society is enhanced through her actions. Now, it doesn't criticize the outward beauty of the woman. It does, however, emphasize that true beauty is found in her character. I think a woman should try to be appealing to her husband. To her husband. Not somebody else's husband. To her husband. It's always worth an amen, isn't it? See, true virtue, true character is done by God. It's an act of God that has given her eternal worth and makes her more valuable than jewels, more valuable than that of rubies. So we're going to investigate this morning the qualities of an excellent woman. And we're going to highlight five things. We're going to see that she's valuable, voracious, vigilant, vigorous, and valiant. And I think all of these characteristics form a portrait of a godly woman, which serves as our message today. And the first thing I want us to look at is how valuable she is. She is a valuable woman, an excellent wife. Who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels. Now, a price cannot be put on the head of an excellent woman. Money cannot buy her, and money cannot sway her. Her value is found in her character. Peter reminds us her virtue is not found in her outward appearance, but in her hidden person of the heart, with imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. This is precious in God's sight, the apostle reminds us. See, the beauty is found within, as outward beauty is fleeting. I mean, if you live long enough, the outward beauty, it begins to erode. And so what is left? We are left with the heart. We're left with the character. And that's the reason why it is the character that's inside a woman that lives far beyond that of her physical appearance. The man who marries a woman because of a cute dimple in her smile may find out later that that dimple turns into the devil. See, God has a different set of values. He knows true beauty. And again, my encouragement to our ladies is to try to impress God with your inner beauties more so than you try to impress men with your outer beauties. I would suggest to you that most men would rather have a virtuous woman than a vagabond. Most of us would want a woman of character. Oh, you might appeal to the eye for a night, but in the morning, he'll want a virtuous, an excellent woman. I do, however, believe that, again, that a wife should try to appeal to her husband. The Bible doesn't say that you can't look beautiful, but simply that outward beauty is not as important as inner beauty. Now, you've heard me quote Adrian Rogers. I put emphasis on that because I would never say this. But Adrian, you know, some in the Christian religion says that that wearing makeup is a sin. Adrian Rogers suggests that not wearing makeup for some would be a sin. But I would never say that. I think I'm looking for another job. Is that something like that? What does the Word of God remind us? To seek to be excellent in the things of God. Because a woman who has the right heart and mind for God is far more valuable than jewelry. She is priceless. But secondly, we see she is voracious. That simply speaks of her truth and her character. Look at verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates simply because of her. Because a godly woman is a woman of character and truth, her husband safely trusts in her. Trust is an invaluable trait. You see, when trust is broken, it never is fully regained. So a husband whose heart can safely trust in his wife is irreplaceable. The voracious woman makes certain that her husband has what he needs, that he lacks nothing. This incorporates many things. It ranges from the private intimacy that he has with his wife to the public respect that he has in the community. When a wife gives her husband everything he needs, he will be a man of honor amongst his peers because he will be viewed as one who governs rightly his family affairs. Since a man without respect in the home has no respect in the community, the voracious wife will see to it that her man is respected. You know, studies have been shown that one of the things that the man wants more than anything is to be respected. And I think that it's the duty of the wife, the obligation of the wife to see to it, to live her life in such a way that it maintains the respect that her husband should want to have. But thirdly, we see that, and I know, let me just say this. I know that this goes against 21st century mindset. The 21st century mindset is wrong. God is right. And culture is wrong. And yes, these messages and these passages fly in the face of culture. But that's the purpose of the gospel. It is meant to create opposition in the culture and in the society in which we live. Because we live in a culture and a society that's inundated with sin. And so the gospel confronts. It confronts, it challenges us. And that's what it does. But we see also that she is a vigilant woman. Look at verse 12. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. A godly woman will look after her family all the days of her life. She will remain alert and on guard for their well-being. To do good all the days of one's life requires vigilance. She knows that Satan will do everything he can to disrupt the family. So a watchful eye must always be kept. Rhonda, especially since I've become a minister, a pastor, doing ministry, she remains on her toes. She remains vigilant. And I'll be honest, when I have a woman that comes up to me, and it may not be anything inappropriately, but she shares something with me that's like, oh, wait a minute. First thing I do is tell Rhonda. I'm like, I'm texting her as soon as, you know, sin. You know, because she is my guard. She stays on guard. She stays on watch for me. And she's all the time alert and sensitive. And she prays for me in that way that we can that I'll remain true and that I'll remain honest. Not first and foremost to God, because if I'm honest and true to God, I'm going to be honest and true to her. See, a godly woman understands this. She is aware of the spiritual battles. That's why in her vigilance, she knows what to look for. She understands how her husband will be attacked. She understands that if the demons can't destroy her husband, that they'll come after her. She understands if they can't influence her or her husband, that they will attack their children. So her vigilance is not just for her, but her family. She stays alert. She stays on guard. She continuously protects her family. This is what a godly woman does. But we also see she's vigorous. This uses several verses, but just let me use verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. And so when we look at that thought and we see how she makes provision for her family, she provides clothes for her family. She goes to the markets. Verse 13, the wool that she goes, she works diligently making clothes. In verse 19, it talks about the distaff and the spindle. That's the picture of her sewing and making yarn out of the wool and providing clothes. Now, there are a few who still make clothes today, but that's something that has pretty, for the most part, have gone away. But perhaps an application of this is a mother who is always washing and mending the clothes to make certain that her family is wearing clean and appropriate clothing. Let me hang out just for a moment on that appropriate clothing. Virtuous, excellent women. Why would you dress your daughter in some way that would paint her in a completely different light? We have an obligation to do our part. Moms and dads, for that matter, you're not called to be their friend. You're called to be their parent. That means that you have to make the tough decisions. That means that you sometimes are unpopular with Johnny Jr. Johnny Jr. just needs to grin and bear it and deal with it, because me dad, him kid, kid does what dad says, kid does what mom says. You know, that's kind of elementary, but we've lost that. We've lost that. Our culture and our society, in fact, our culture teaches liberal freedom. Why do they teach that? Because it destroys the family. And Satan's behind it. And because Satan's behind it, he knows that his most effective and efficient attack is to destroy the family. See, if the family is destroyed, there's no church. Did you hear that? I mean, you show me a strong church and I'll show you a church that's filled full of strong families. You show me a church that's struggling and having difficulties, I'll show you a church that's filled with broken families who do not understand the authority that God has given and the responsibilities and obligations that God has given to the parent. We need to be the parent. In fact, next week, God willing, we're going to teach another nugget of gold on train up a child. train up a child, and we're going to spend a lot of time in discipline and things such as that. And we're not going to just simply talk about the rod. That's just a small part of it. But with God's help, we'll deal with that more thoroughly next week. Appropriate clothing. Dress your daughters like they're a lady. It doesn't matter what their friends say. It doesn't matter what their friends say. It only matters what God thinks. If you're dressing your daughter in a way that will cause the guys to look, you put your daughter at a great disadvantage in life. I'd rather them be popular with the Lord than popular to the boys. A virtuous woman makes certain her family has clean and serviceable clothes. When winter comes, she has already done what was needed to provide warmth for her home in verse 21. She also provides food for her family in verses 14 through 16. She goes to the markets to get their needs, what verse 14, food from afar. She gets up before day to provide meals for her family. Verse 15, to her husband before he sets out to work, to the children before they make their way to school. Husband and wife work, they team up to make certain that everything is taken care of. She exercises wisdom in getting a field to help meet the needs. She plants her vineyard. She plants a garden to make provision for her family. She provides resources for her family. Verse 24. Some of us think, you know what? I don't think I like this chapter very much. When she gets everything in the home taken care of, she labors to help provide income so items of need outside of those mentioned can be purchased. She provides the very best for her family, verses 17 and 18. She works vigorously to provide the best she can for her family. Whether she's growing food, shopping for food, preparing food, she labors to provide from before day until after dark. Whether she's gathering materials, spinning the materials, or sowing the materials, she vigorously labors to provide for her family. What's the context, I think, that we need to draw from this today? That a virtuous woman, that an excellent wife, that an excellent woman, a godly woman, that she will go above and beyond to meet the needs of her family, to make certain that they are taken care of. She makes provision for her friends, verse 20. Because she is virtuous, she is generous. She not only makes provision for her family, but she helps those in need. She's not stingy, she's generous. She honors her family in verse 27. Because of her vigor, she takes great care of her family. Her husband is honored, her kids are behaved, her home is neat and tidy, and her family is honored by her vitality. Today, women bring home the bacon. They, speaking of work, they fry it up in the pan. That's the cooking. And they clean the pan while the husband, typically, who worked no more hours than the wife, is sitting in the chair watching TV. Guys, if you have your wife working like that, you need to get up and do your part. Amen? I chose this sermon. I put Rhonda on children's church for a reason. She'll be too busy to hear anything that I'm saying. But I think it's wrong for a man to expect that out of his wife and then do nothing around the house. Y'all alive? Yes, guys, you figured it out. I'm more scared of the women than I am you. Perhaps you've heard it said, behind every good man is a woman and a surprised mother-in-law. A woman to a man is what wind is to a fire. It can either flame it up or blow it out. Ladies, be excellent. Then the last point I want us to look at is how she is valiant, verses 25 and 26. Look at our text. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. I love that phrase. I'll talk about that momentarily. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She is clothed with strength and honor. being clothed with these attributes reflects her character. She knows where her help comes from. Her help comes from the Lord. And when a woman places her hope and strength in the Lord, she can smile at the future no matter what it may bring. God never promised us a rose garden. Life can be difficult. In fact, I read a story of a valiant woman. Her name is Darnley Motter. And she was giving birth to her third child. Her husband, Larry, was on the floor below having a blood clot removed from his brain caused by an automobile crash. The clot left her husband partially paralyzed and with brain damage. For all intents and purposes, he was another baby in the Motter household. People encouraged her to set Larry up in a nursing home so she could get on with her life, but she just knew she couldn't do that. She believed making a home with Larry, even the new Larry, was a part of keeping the wedding vows. Over the years, she often cried herself to sleep and succumbed to the heavy undertow of depression. Her lonely walk was as the only adult in her marriage left her feeling exasperated, but when times were the darkest, she remembered, I don't need answers. I just need God. She's clothed with strength and dignity. The virtuous woman in her valiance utters wisdom, and her words offer only kindness. Now, as all this relates to motherhood, one writer described the woman like this, the mother. Her work is not all glamour, chauffeur, maid, cook, referee, philosopher, rescue squad, hostess, tutor, psychiatrist. But if you put them all together, they spell mother. Remember this. For you, there's only one mother in the world. Nobody else can replace you. So it's important that you seek to live up to your responsibilities of being a virtuous mom. In closing, I want us to look at these verses, the last four verses, beginning in verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Listen to those blessings that an excellent woman receives. One of those blessings of being virtuous is that your children will call you blessed. Undoubtedly, one of the great testimonies that a woman will have is that when their children are able to look back at mom and say, thank you, God, that you gave me a great mom. We went down to see my mother last night. We done Mother's Day on Saturday. But anyway, one of the things that Rhonda was saying on the way back, she was thanking God that God had allowed her to have a mother-in-law that was a woman of excellence, a virtuous woman. And I'm very so thankful for that as well. Another blessing is that your husband will praise you. The answer to everything that we've discussed, again, in this, is she fears the Lord. It begins with the Lord. God rewards her labor. God will reward her with words of praise at the city gates. A virtuous woman is more rare than ever these days. But praise God, He still reserves some for Himself. Again, some will go away saying to themselves that this is just old-fashioned mumbo-gumbo. I've heard it all. And that it has no application in the 21st century, but it's worth reminding ourselves that God's Word is never outdated. If we've changed, we probably ought to change back. So here's our task. We must somehow link our virtuous women with our younger women, so that the torch of these godly traits can be transferred from one generation to the next. This is what I want to challenge some of our older ladies who meet this definition. I don't think that you would be wrong or arrogant to say, you know what, I think that I can give in this way. I think that you need to get with Brother Drew And you need to start working out a way in Miss Brittany and start working out a way that we can develop a ministry. Ladies, young ladies, our students specifically, you ought to be thankful and grateful for this. You ought to look forward. You should want to sit down with some of our virtuous, some of our excellent women and pick their brains. And here's what they'll do. They'll tell you their mess ups when they were young. That's important to hear. Because we've all messed up. And how, if you trust God and how He will work in and through your situations. And you know what would be great if all this took place? And by the way, that's what the Bible says. In fact, Titus chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5, it says that to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the Word of God may not be reviled. God gives instruction for our older ladies, our godly women, to take an active role. I mean, I think it would be pretty neat if some of our ladies would find a young woman. You can find that help with Drew and Brittany and make a connection. Well, they don't ever come to me. That's right. So go to them. We're the adults. Find that young woman that you can connect with and mentor and pray for. And develop the relationship. You'd be amazed what would happen and how they would open up and how they would respond if we took the initiative to allow them to establish that relationship. Hey, let's do something crazy. This will be a little off the charts. But y'all ready? Let's do it God's way. Let's do it the way the Bible says. Perhaps we are where we are because we've left the principles of God's Word. I think He knows best. It's the same thing in evangelism. We do evangelistic events, but the Word of God still says that we're to go door to door. Because we don't go door to door, we don't win as many people. The reason why some of our young ladies struggle is because our younger ladies, our older ladies, simply are not partnering with our younger ladies. What about their attitudes? Well, they probably got the same attitude you had when you were 15 or 16. Now, I'm going to pick on our older ones here just for a moment. We come down pretty hard on our young ladies for their sexual promiscuity. And I mean, we should call it what it is. Sin is sin. Shouldn't think we should ever back away from that. We ought to call it the way we do. But I would like to remind some of our older ladies, though, that when you were young and had those emotions, you got married when you were 15. You got married when you were 16. You got married when you were 17. And we're asking our young ladies now to remain true through all that age of difficulty, all the way to the time they're 23 or 24 years old. Well, I waited until I got married. Yeah, you got married when you was 15, 16. Nothing wrong with that. Now, there's no remark about that. I'm just saying that you'll make more headway with these young ladies by trying to understand. It's still sin. Never back away. It's still sin. But you might have a greater success in mentoring them if you try to relate to them. My favorite part, she can laugh at the future. Verse 25, she can laugh at the future. Why? Because she fears the Lord. See, God has made it possible for every single one of us, men or women, to laugh at the future through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. If you don't know Jesus today, I mean, I can look to the future and say, you know what, I need not fear. I can laugh at the future. Even if it's hard, even if it's painful, even if it's a tear-jerking situation, circumstance, I can still laugh at the future because God has saved me. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've been washed and made new through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has made it possible for every single person under the sound of my voice to be able, by faith in Jesus, to laugh at the future. There's nothing that the future can bring on you that would cause you to recoil and be afraid. Because we have a God who owns the future. And He's written my name right in the middle of it. And if you'll come and trust Christ this morning and put your faith and trust in Him, that promise holds true to you. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't you love it?
Amen.
Are you like this virtuous woman who can laugh at the future? If the answer is no, my prayer for you is that you'll respond this morning during the invitation and anchor that down and receive Christ as Savior and Lord. And I'm telling you, He'll radically change you and you'll never be the same.